come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study through the Gospel of John. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com.
So Lord, as we just look into what you have today for us in your word, Lord, we want to be diligent to hear what you have to say to us, Lord. I want to be diligent in speaking what you have me to speak, Lord. Help me to say the things that you would have me to say. And Lord, I pray for a peace right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that peace that surpasses all understanding, that we keep our hearts and our minds in you, Christ Jesus. I pray, Father, for the anointing of your Holy Spirit to be on each one of us, Lord, that fresh anointing that we really need every day. Lord, I thank you for your presence amongst us. We continue to pray for our leadership, for our president, Lord, for these first 100 days, Lord. We pray that your hand would be in the middle of it, and we don't know anything about the future, but we know the one who holds our future. And so, Lord, we rest in you, and we know, Lord, that you have everything under control, and we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. And so as I was looking over this portion of our text, we're starting in chapter 1, as you know, starting with verse 19, finishing up this chapter down through verse 51. My real temptation was to go into a lot of stuff about John the Baptist. And looking into what happened when he baptized and what happened during the time of temptation and what happened with all of this stuff and where is he from and who is he? But we remember then the Lord brought my attention to the fact that he said, I'm nothing but a voice. And so he's almost invisible in what we have in our text today, because this book, John was writing to show us who Jesus is, to show us what the Father is like. And so that's what I'm going to try to cover for you this morning as we get into this portion of our text. And we start with verse 19. And he says that this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests. The Jews sent the priests and the Levites from Jerusalem. And the first thing they say is, who are you? Who in the world are you that you would be doing these things? Now, he could have said, well, I'm the son of Zechariah, who happens to be a priest. My mom's name is Elizabeth. I live over in there. And, you know, I've been doing a lot of things lately. I've been busy with this baptizing thing and could have given them the whole story. But no, he says nothing. Who are you? He says, he knew in their question of who are you, that they were asking, on what authority do you do this baptizing? And so right away he says, I want you to know I'm not the Christ. Okay, so if you're not the Christ, then who are you? Are you Elijah? Well, no, I'm not Elijah. Why would they ask if he was Elijah? Because according to Malachi 4:5, the Jews expected Elijah to return to the earth before the coming of Christ. So John is not Christ. Perhaps he would be Elijah. That's what they thought. The Jews would set an empty place at the Seder table for Elijah. The Seder dinner, for those of you who maybe don't know about that, it's a celebration, a time where things are put in order, things are eaten in a particular order, and it takes the Jews from slavery to freedom as they walk through that Seder dinner. And so they thought perhaps he would be Elijah. And of course, he says, no, I'm not Elijah. Well, then you must be a prophet. Are you the prophet? Nope, not the prophet. Nope. So who am I? Who am I then? John would begin to say. And he would speak to them and he would say, I am a voice crying in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. I am simply a voice. Even though I dress really weird, even though I have an interesting way of eating, I, as far as I am concerned, am invisible. Have any of you watched The Voice? Okay, you notice on The Voice, I only watched it one time, so and I've seen previews. So I had this. I'm taking it from the previews. Where the singer is singing, the voice that's coming on is to their backs. And so they are not, they're only hearing the noise. They're only hearing what is being sung there. And that's kind of what John the Baptist is saying. I'm just the voice. I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. What was the wilderness that he was talking about? That scripture was taken, what he said was taken from Isaiah 40, verse 3. But what wilderness was he talking about? When Israel basically turned their back on God and began to worship other gods, they began to make more rules that had to be followed. They began to go against what Scripture has to say. They found themselves in a dry place. And that's where we will find ourselves, is in a dry place. A dry desert wilderness. And that's where he was preaching to. And so then they went on to say at verse 24, now those who were sent were from the Pharisees. They asked him, saying, why are you baptizing? If you're not if you're not the Christ, you're not Elijah, you're not the prophet. And John answered them and said, first I want to take you down to verse 28. Where are they? These things were done in Bethabara beyond the Jordan where John was baptizing. The Jordan was where John was baptizing, but Bethabara today would be known as Bethany East. There is a Bethany West, the city of Bethany West, our town, that is close to Jerusalem, and it's further away from the Jordan. He was at Bethany East, that was close to the Jordan. They were there in that place. I believe that in that place, Jesus happened to be part of his little contingent. I think Jesus kind of hung around with John the Baptist and his disciples. I think he was in the area at that very time. Because then we go up into verse 24 or 25, and it says, they ask him, saying, why then do you baptize? And verse 26, John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there is one who stands among you whom you do not know. He's right there. He is right here amongst us. Now, did John know that his cousin Jesus was the Messiah? I believe not. Because there was nothing about Jesus that made him stand out. His time was not yet. And so as they were there amongst the people, and he says, there's one amongst us. I don't think for a second that he looked and went, I think it's probably him. You know, he has a halo. Or the one with the bright face, you know, or the blue eyes, the blue-eyed one. It was definitely has to be a blue-eyed one. But there was nothing special about Jesus until he came in to be baptized. And the Lord had already told John the Baptist, the one on which you see this happening, then you will know who it is. So I believe that the Lord showed him at the very time that Jesus began to walk toward him, this is the one. And John was able to say, this is the guy. This is the one. It's all about Jesus. And we see him backing away and saying, I'm not even worthy to do this that God's called me to do. Do you ever feel that way? God's called you to do something. You go, I am so unqualified for that. I can't, I'm that way on the radio. I want to tell you guys, I am so appreciative for anybody who prays for me when I'm on the radio with Bill. I had a lot of people praying for me. here's what I'll tell you about that. So Friday I was on, and I had bunches of people praying for me. yesterday they asked me to come in and do a little spot for When Leaders Lead, that they're putting the thing together. So, okay, I put it all together, what I was going to say. I was prepared. I was ready. And when I got in there, they said, well, we're not going to really do a script. We're just going to ask you some questions. And I went, so, but the precious guy who was asking me the questions kept his back to me while he asked me the questions. So there was nothing to really, there was nothing to respond to or anything. So I was a voice, sort of. But you know, when he said, tell us, the first time that you went, what was the thing that stood out to you? It was so good. It was just so good. I loved being there. Why? Because it was so good. It was just... So, I do not feel qualified. See, God did call me to that. He calls me to that for which I feel ill-equipped. Because I have to depend on Him to get through it. So anyway, how did I get off on that? Not being qualified to even latch his sandals. Is that where I was at? Okay, good. Okay, so we all have times when we don't feel qualified. And then he saw Jesus coming to him, and he said, this is God, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is He of whom I said was here before me. Was after me, but He really was before me. He was talking about, in the first verse, it says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So He's talking about the One who has always been. This is the Lamb of God. This is God who is coming in to be baptized by me. This is the One that I told you about. I didn't not know Him. That gives us indication that earlier on, I didn't know who He was, but that He should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit descending upon Him. Now, if you want to do more research on what happened during this time, go into Matthew, go into Luke, go into Mark, and see the things that happened at this particular time. And you can go in deeper in that. And the Spirit remained on Him. The Spirit remained on Him. It continued with Him. I didn't know Him, but He who sent me to baptize with water, the Father said, upon whom you see this happen, in verse 33, you go ahead and you baptize them and know that they are the Son of God. Verse 34, and I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Now, we know from the other texts, from the other Gospels, that right after that baptism, He went off into the wilderness and He was tempted for 40 days. We know all about that. If you want to study that deeper, like I said, go into the other Gospels for that. So that makes more sense when you look at verse 35 and it says the next day. It just means another day. On another day. I'm assuming that this is after this happened, after the temptation happened. And so, again, on another day, John stood with two of his disciples and looking at Jesus, he walked as he walked. He was looking at Jesus as he walked. Are we looking at Jesus as we walk? In our walk, are we keeping our eyes firmly set on the Lord? Do we keep our attention on Him like John the Baptist was doing? And when he saw Him, it says, he said out loud, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him, and they followed Jesus. The two disciples heard him. Who were those two disciples? Well, we know from a little bit later that one of them was Andrew. We know because of what we know about John that the other one was John because he never brings attention to himself. And so he kind of leaves his name out of there. So it was John and Andrew that were the two disciples that were there. And then Jesus turned at verse 38 and seeing them following, said to them, "What is it that you want from me? What are you seeking? What are you after?" And I love their response. They said to him, "Rabbi," that is to say, which is translated teacher, "where are you staying? I want to be where you are." That's what they're saying. I want to be where you are. Do we say that to the Lord? I want to be wherever you are. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You are my dwelling place, the place where I want to live. You are the one that I want to be close to and I want to be near. He said to them, "Just come and see." What has happened here is they were looking at John the Baptist as their rabbi, as their teacher. They were following close behind John the Baptist. They were with him all the time. Now they are being transferred over to the one who is called the Son of God, the one who is called the Lamb of God. And now they are calling him their rabbi. What do you do when you are a follower of a particular rabbi? You spend all of your time shadowing them. You are always with them, never in front of them, always behind them, allowing the rabbi, the teacher, to lead. Do we allow the Lord to lead in our lives? Do we allow him to lead us? And it said, verse 39, it said, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he was staying and remained with him. They dwelt with him there that memorable day. That was a very memorable day. And now it was about the 10th hour. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And it says they remained with him. So one of the two who heard John speak, verse 40, and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And so Andrew, apparently, from what we see here, is going to be one of the first evangelists of the apostles. Andrew, everything that we know about Andrew says he went out and got his brother Simon. He went to the young boy and that had the loaves and fishes, and he brought him to Jesus. He went to the 12 Greeks in John 12. We'll talk about he went to the some Greeks and brought them to Jesus. He was always bringing people to Jesus. And what do we know about Andrew? Andrew, according to history, as far as we know, Andrew was the oldest in a family of 5. He was unmarried, but lived with his married brother, Peter. He was a year older than Jesus and the oldest of the apostles, yet he would always be known as Peter's brother. He would never have his own name put in first. Andrew, Peter's brother. Do you ever feel like that? Bethany, Taylor's mom. Jeff's wife. Bill's daughter. Shannon's sister. We all kind of have that, don't we? Because we are all in the place that Andrew was. Not drawing the attention to ourselves, but walking in the things of the Lord. And so Andrew was the one who brought all of those things there. So his younger brother listened to him and went with him to see Jesus. He first found his own brother, verse 41, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas." Simon's name, the name Simon means listen and obey. Now, somebody else said that it meant something like shifting sand. There's nothing that I find, it's a really good illustration, but there's nothing that I could find to back that up. So, but listen and obey. He says, so you are Simon. Listen, you listen and obey, but I'm going to call you the Rock. I'm going to call you the Rock. Simon, son of Jonah. What do we know about Jonah and his obedience? I think the name fit Peter at that, or fit Simon at that particular time. But there was something more that was God was going to do with Peter. And Peter's name means the Rock. And so his name was going to be changed to the Rock. Dwayne Johnson's name. That's same thing, only different. There are many names in the Bible are changed. Saul became Paul. Abram became Abraham. Sarai became Sarah. Why does God change names? Because he sees the potential. He sees who we really are. He knows who we really are. And I can't wait to see what my name is going to be when I get to heaven. Because it says we're going to get a new name. We're all going to get a new name. I can't wait to see what that is. Of course, I don't say, what's my name? I get in heaven. You know, can you tell me my name? Can you tell me my name? I don't think I'll be doing that. But I'm excited to see what that is. And so the name fit what the person would become. I know. Remember when Bethany had Jack, they had another name for Jack. But when he was born, they looked at him and they said, oh, that's Jack. They just knew, that's Jack, that's his name, that's the name that fits him, and it really does fit him very well. And many children are not named all of a sudden. They're not named before they, before they what? Appear. Yes, and oftentimes we wait on that. And so, the following day, verse 43, here Simon listened and obeyed, but he was... not really good at that. He was kind of boisterous and stuff. And Jesus knew that through their time together, through the trials, that Peter would be the Rock. It was going to be through the trials. There is very little growth in our life through the good times. I really want to be a positive person as much as I can. But when it comes to my growth, it is in those hard times that I grow. And I think that that's true of all of us. And so the following day, verse 43, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip there. Philip means horse lover, which doesn't work for any kind of illustration that I can think of. So, and said to him, follow me. And then, verse 44, now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. So these guys probably knew each other. They might have been friends along the way. Jesus is going out and gathering them in, but they probably already knew each other. And verse 45, then Philip found Nathanael. Philip found Nathanael. Nathanael's name means God has given. And we have learned some things about Nathanael. They found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote. It's Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. It's Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Now, Nazareth was kind of like the Barstow or the Bakersfield of the area. If any of you guys are from that area, I'm sorry, but every time I visit those particular places, that's kind of what it feels like. And so we know that Jesus was from Bethlehem, but Nathanael didn't know that. But Nathanael, when he said, can anything good come out of Nazareth, his brother or his friend Philip says, come on and see. He brought him to Jesus. He just brought him to Jesus. He didn't argue it. He just said, come and see for yourself. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree. Do you believe? You're going to see greater things than these if you stick around. And he said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So what is this? He says, how do you know me? How do you know me? And Jesus said, I saw you when you were under the fig tree. I saw what you were doing. And here, the first thing that he had responded to him is, you are a man with no guile. You are a man with no deceit. You're trustworthy. You are integrity. Because Jesus knew in the place where he was under the fig tree, when you say they were under the fig tree, it's talking about they were in a place of meditation. They were in a place of devotion. He was there reading something particular. He was reading, most likely, about Jacob. So he saw him reading the story of Jacob. And he was telling him, you're not like Jacob, who was a man full of deceit and no integrity and tricky and was a heel snatcher. If you don't know the story of Jacob, Jacob being the twin who hung on to his brother's heel so that they would both be firstborn. His mother probably wanted to kill him, but he hung on from that very beginning. And one day he changed from a man of guile to another man, and he was given a new name, and his name became Israel, meaning governed by God. And there was the night where he wrestled with God in Genesis. I knew it was in Genesis. I just couldn't come up with a number. Genesis 32. At that time, his hip was broken in that fight with the angel of the Lord. And he always walked with a limp as a reminder. Why didn't God just heal that? Because I need a reminder. Why doesn't God heal what I have going on with me? I walk with a limp right now. Why doesn't God heal that? Right now, I need some reminders. And I'm just laying that out for you. I'm just saying that's where I'm at. So anyway, an Israelite indeed. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. He was under the fig tree, the symbol of Israel. Jacob had those 12 sons. And when he was the father of the 12 children, or 12 tribes of Israel, right? Okay. Was this all in your homework? Oh, okay. Okay. Genesis 28, the story of how Jacob had tricked his brother out of his birthright. He had tricked his brother out of his birthright, and there he goes, running out into the night. They were in the little town of Luz. The word Luz means light. Interesting that this was brought into the light of what he was going through. He went out and he was fearing for his life. His brother had threatened to kill him. He laid out there in the night and he used a rock for a pillow. And he went to sleep. And while he was asleep, he had a dream of a ladder coming down from heaven with angels ascending and descending. Jesus knew that that's what Nathanael was looking at that particular time. I want you to know that when you are in a place of devotion, when you are in a place of meditating on the things of the Lord, he's right there with you. He wants to spend that time with you. He wants to be there. And bringing it back to where Nathanael hears this and realizes that this was exactly what he was reading, which I said, he realized he must be the Messiah. That's why he was saying, you must be the Messiah. That kind of time that we spend with the Lord is the most important time of our lives. It is the most important time of our day, no matter what else is going on. And if we can get that time with the Lord in the morning, it is such a blessing. I'm reminded of the scripture that has to do with the woman at the well. And Jesus said, would you serve me a glass of water? He was thirsty. God is thirsty for our worship. He is thirsty for our fellowship. He is thirsty for our time with him. That's how we serve the Lord. worshiping him is just the greatest time of the day. And in that worship, yes, do I ask for things? Yes, I ask for things. But the greatest thing, and sometimes I get them, but not all the time, because my time is more centered on who Christ is and who he is and all of the good things about him than it is about my own needs first. I want to be able to learn to serve the Lord contagiously. I want to be able to serve the thirsts of my Lord contagiously. Does that make sense to us all? And so, Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Father, for your presence with us, your love for us, Father, and just that you are, how you treasure that time with us, Father, and how you see us when we are just in times of pouring over your word or talking to you or worshiping you, walking around the house, singing, walking other places, singing. Lord, I thank you for that reminder that that's where you want us to be. Wherever you are is where you want us to be. And Father, I pray, God, for that woman that's here this morning, and there's just something going on and you're not sure what it is. The Lord is speaking peace into that area right now. In the name of Jesus, whatever it is that's going on, he is speaking peace into your heart. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for giving us this word, this written word, and your Son, the Word, Lord. We thank you for your presence with us. We thank you, Lord, that you are greater than all of our fears. You are greater than all of our trials. You are greater than anything, Lord. And we want to praise you and thank you and give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.